listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Scan the QR code to visit our website at aulc.us and find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and TalkShoe.
The following presentation is from a new series from Dr. Rob White called Blast from the Past. In this series, Dr. Rob will feature past sermons that were recorded live. We hope you enjoy this new series.
Let's start with a prayer on our sermon today. Heavenly Father, we come today again opening your word, listening and hearing your words as you speak them. Each time we open your word, we get something new, something fresh and exciting. And I know you've done that on purpose so that we don't get one meaning out of it and be done. And we thank you, Lord, for that, because a lot of times we have to retell a story or reread a story in order to get the meaning. And we just thank you, Lord, for that we can get meanings, everyone a little bit different each time they read your scriptures. So we ask today as we open your word that, again, you'll open our minds to what you have to say. And just be with us, Lord, and help us to absorb it. Let them that have ears hear. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 11, 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, our sermon this morning comes with a couple of caveats, a couple of disclaimers. This is Labor Day weekend, and Labor Day is anything but a religious holiday. Also, our text this morning really has nothing to do with labor per se, like in what you do for a living, that kind of labor. Now, I chose it because it deals with two of the most common mistakes that people make when they read the Bible. One is called literalism, taking the words of the scripture at face value, literally what they say, without exploring any deeper meaning. The other is called legalism, taking the words of scripture as law and then using those words to judge others. Now, my hope is that you'll help to avoid these pitfalls of literalism and legalism, and you'll be able to hear God's word of grace and truth more clearly after this. Now, before I get into the rest of the sermon, today is kind of a, what do you want to call it? It's a, I just lost the words. Okay, yeah, I'm with you. It's an anniversary. There we go. It was 1 year ago today that we started, my wife and I started, doing our services here at Whitlock Place. So it was on Labor Day weekend last year. So it's an anniversary today. Also, a lot of people think that because you're a pastor, you work one day a week. No, that doesn't work either. So I'm what they call a vocation or a bivocational pastor because I have a full-time job at the same time that I have a full-time ministry. And this is part of my full-time ministry right here. So getting back to our sermon, let's begin with literalism. Now, when I was in the third grade, I believe, it's when Jesus' first words, I heard this, that they really hit home for me. It says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavily burdened. I will give you rest." Now, I figured Jesus must have had my father in mind when he wrote these words because my dad was a farmer. Any of you have ever been farmers, you know That's an 80-hour week job in itself. He worked hard for a living. And, you know, the work was hot in the summer, it was cold in the winter, and he would be filthy dirty most all the time, working on equipment or being out in the field or whatever. He'd come in from a long day of working, and he'd be tired, and it kind of gave me great comfort to know that Jesus was looking after him when he said those words, and that he would give him rest after his much-needed labor. But see, that's literalism. I found out later that, well, Jesus wasn't talking about my dad at all, or people in general, people who work for a living. Now, I'm sure that Jesus cares for each one of us that work for a living, but he was talking about how the priest and the scribes and the rabbis would add so many laws to the already Ten Commandments, and it was already impossible to keep up with everything. Now, in Jesus' day, the law of Moses consisted of 613 individual laws. 365 were positive in nature. In other words, you do this. And then there was 248 were negative, where don't do this. So how did 10 commandments become 613 separate rules and regulations? Well, that's the second point. That's legalism. Here's one example. For just as an example, the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your God." Not only was you not supposed to work on the Sabbath, but neither was anyone around you, neither your son or your daughter, your male servants, your female servants, your livestock, your stranger who is within your gates. Exodus 20, 9 to 11 tells us this. The Sabbath back in those days started at Friday night at 6 p.m. and ended at Saturday night at 6 p.m. So you had 24 hours of Sabbath. You couldn't do anything. And this opened up a can of worms for a lot of people because what about eating? Well, you fixed your food before the Sabbath started. So all you had to do was go and take it. You couldn't prepare it. You couldn't heat it up. You couldn't do anything with it. It was already done because that was constituting work. You couldn't feed your dog. You couldn't give them water. Maybe they were out. That constituted work. But then you get down to your livestock. What about the hens? Could they lay an egg? That takes a lot of work. On the Sabbath, your hens were not allowed to lay eggs. I don't know how you told the livestock that. Could you write a letter to your friend or a loved one? Would that be considered work or was that pleasure? Well, the act of writing was considered work. Could you have a productive thought? How can one keep from thinking? But the scribes and the priests, they all thought of these things. The rabbis, they parsed the commandment until it came into a number of laws. And one of these laws that they came up with was how far are you allowed to walk on the Sabbath in order to get to the synagogue or the temple before it becomes work. Now, we have silly laws today, but come on now. If you lived in very far away, this might affect you. They came up with 2,000 cubits. Now, a cubit back then was from the elbow to the tip of your middle finger. That was considered a cubit. My cubit is going to be different than your cubit. Everyone's arms are different lengths. Scientists today have decided a cubit is 18 inches. I guess that's an average. I don't know how they came up with this, but they said 2,000 cubits was as far as you could walk. If you went 2,001, that was considered work. It's less than a half a mile. Now, any more than that, it was considered work. That became a sin. This became known as the Sabbath's journey. Now, In Jerusalem today, they have what's called the Shabbat elevator. Shabbat is Jewish for Sabbath. When you go into a hotel in Jerusalem today, and most hotels have them, you walk in because pushing a button is considered work. You can't push a button. These elevators, you walk in, they automatically go to the floor where your room is. You don't have to push a button. They just know where you're going. Now, someone had to program them, I'm sure, but that is the way it's working in today's world. If you did anything, any kind of work on the Sabbath, you were sinning. Now, in case you're wondering, legalism is still alive and well today in our world. There are a lot of people who won't work past midnight on a Saturday night because that goes in at 12:01, becomes Sunday morning. That's kind of our Sabbath. But people are thinking so literal and legal on this that, no, if I work past midnight, I'm now working on Sunday morning. I can't do that. I work with some people that think that away because I don't know if it's that's their way of thinking or that's the doctrine of their faith, but they won't work on Sunday no matter how much they need to. So to cut to the chase, Jesus was anything but a literalist. For example, in John 10:14, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and I'm known by my own." Now, this is metaphorical language here. Jesus was literally not a shepherd. He was to his followers like a good shepherd was to sheep. And when it came to the law of Moses, he took a few great liberties on his own. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said not once, but he said six times, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." So you've heard it said this, but I'm telling you this is the way it is. He goes on to interpret the law by the Spirit, not by the letter of the law. So Jesus was anything but a literalist, but he was also not a legalist either. He did a lot of things on the Sabbath he wasn't supposed to do. He healed a man's withered hand. He gave a blind man sight. He told a man who'd been paralyzed from birth to take up his mat and walk. He did all of this on the Sabbath. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they did not like Jesus for this because he was going against the law. Not only that, but he and his disciples would go out and they would pluck grain off of the wheat stalks and all on the Sabbath. Why? They were hungry. When charged by the legalist of the day for breaking the Sabbath law, then he talked about the time that King David not only ate the bread of the presence in the temple, but he also shared it with the priest. In Mark 2:27, he says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Once a woman was brought to him who was caught in the act of adultery. He asked if she should be stoned to death. And he asked the people, he says, "Why are you wanting to stone her?" Well, because that's what the law of Moses demanded. She was caught in the act of adultery, so we have to kill her. He kind of drew in the sand a little bit. And in John 8:7, he says, "He who is without sin among you, let them cast the first stone." When her accusers heard this, they kind of slipped away in shame. They dropped their stones and they were gone. After they were gone, Jesus asked the woman, says, "Woman, where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way and from now on sin no more." See, Jesus was not a legalist, nor would he have us be. What's interesting is that he said he didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, and not even the smallest letter or tiny pen stroke would be taken away until all was accomplished. Yet in the same breath, he took liberty to interpret the law according to the higher standard of God's forgiveness, grace, and love. So how does this speak to us today? Well, let's say, for an example, a young professional woman moves into your community and she joins a church in your neighborhood, maybe even your church. And in time, she starts going out with a young businessman and that she meets in this church. And it seems like they're a good match. They look perfect together. She's pretty and she's ladylike and he's handsome and debonair and he's very much the gentleman. And they court for several months and he proposes, she accepts. They celebrate their union in a storybook fashion. However, though, they don't live happily ever after. When they get back from their honeymoon and they establish their life together, he turns into a control freak. He insists on making all of the major decisions and managing the money, including the money that she makes. And if she'd let him, he'd control every aspect of her life. And she tried to reason with him, but it didn't work. She tells her new husband, "We need counseling." He won't hear of it. So finally she does what any reasonable woman would do. She gets a divorce and she goes about her way. But what about the scripture, the law of Moses, specifically where Jesus says in Matthew 19:9, "I tell you that whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and he who marries her when she is divorced commits adultery." See, legalists have a field day with this. But let's look a little deeper. In Jesus' day, a man could divorce his wife for no other reason than she displeased him. Displeased him? I mean, that can happen. That could mean anything. She could have made his egg scrambled instead of over easy, and that would displease him. Jesus' words were meant to curb the rampant incidences of divorce and protect women from the whims of capricious husbands. So, are we to take his words literally? Is the only justification for divorce adultery? Are we to apply them legalistically? For those who divorce for any other reason, they're living in sin? Well, no. Infidelity is only one of the reasons why marriages fail. Let's not use Jesus' words to stand in judgment of anyone who's had a divorce. If you want a verse to hang your hat on, go to Ephesians, where Paul says in Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the assembly and gave himself up for it." When a husband honors his wife in this way and is willing to do whatever it takes to provide for her and to protect her, even if it means giving up his own life for her, she's free to love him in return and help him become the man of God he was intended to be. See, Jesus taught his disciples to live by the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. Peter once asked in Matthew 18, says, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" And Jesus said unto him, "I don't tell you until seven times, but until 70 times seven." That's a lot of times to forgive somebody. By the time you get there, I think what Jesus' point was, is you've forgotten why you're forgiving them. In other words, it takes as many times as it takes to forgive someone. Jesus' harshest words were against the legalist of the day who upheld the law of Moses to the letter and held others in contempt when they didn't. He told the crowds in Matthew 23, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore observe what they tell you, and don't do their works, for they say and don't do. For they bind heavy burdens that are grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift a finger to help them." He went on to say, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." It's over against the weight of legalism that Jesus offered his most comforting words, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's in our scripture text today. Let's wrap it up with this thought. Laboring for the Lord is not about living by the letter of the law. It's about doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with your God and your fellow man. And always remember, God's word, while contained in Scripture, must be inspired by the Spirit and informed by the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ. Many times you'll find some churches, cults, and like this, that will take Jesus' words out of context. They do it on purpose because they want you to follow their letter of the law, their law, not Jesus and God's law. So let's go to the Lord in prayer to close out our sermon today and just kind of meditate on these words. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us today, for opening our minds to these words, for being able to come to you and to be able to know that it's not being literal or legalistic, but to know that we live by the Spirit, not by the letter of the law. We thank you for that, Lord, as we get ready to go home today to our friends, our family, whatever we're going to do this afternoon. Keep us safe, keep us healthy, and keep us blessed. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. That is our Lord's message for this Lord's Day. I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week and be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for coming. We will see you all next Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you for watching and listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Athens Universal Life Church is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. This production is an AULC Studios video production. Copyright 2012 to 2023. All rights reserved.